Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine abyss, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
I once was a man who had a stick, had a stick, had a stick. I once was a man who had a stick. Then I died, and I hit the world with this big, humongous, angry man stick. I took this stick, and I, like, took the world, and I took it, poked it in the eye. Poked it in there, shoved that little viscous, fluidy stuff, and it's like, pfft, splattered all out all over the place. And then there were ravens. Oh, and that was a really cool scene I saw on the TV show Grimm the other day, where, like, the body flew down that water spill, and then up on the top, and then the raven landed on his face, and it pecked out its eye. That was cool. Hi, EW!
Nevermore.
I think that was supposed to be a nod to Nevermore, but I don't think it was really actually that in the show.
Okay.
So, today's show, as I was talking to... Oh, yes, I did press the record button. I should make sure of that. As I was talking with you earlier, is going to be about zombies. Because how far is too far, or has it gone too far, or how much longer can it continue to keep going too far in this whole contagion species thing that we call zombies? And what prompted this particular linear progression of think. Yeah, I'm a stick happy zombie. I can't help it. Yeah, I'm not going there either. Was a commercial advert trailer that I saw, I think it was a couple days ago, called Zombievers.
Oh, God, I saw it.
Have you seen that, Edub?
I've not seen the trailer. I saw the little...
The poster?
Yeah.
OM goodness. I will watch this movie. It looks retardedly funny. It looks... Why? How? Whack-a-mole! Okay, I'll watch this.
Now, not too many places you get zombies and beavers in the same.
Well, see, this is where I'm saying is like, how far is too far? I mean, everybody nowadays, in as far as they're trying to crunch out and do things zombie related, is, well, what else can you do? Zombies are basically a very specific, very generic, very straightforward, simple, dead things that walk that just go and eat you. Or try to eat you.
But I have a question for you.
Seven.
No.
But zombies, I did like that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie, actually. But zombies, what happens when they run out of food supply?
Simple. Everybody dies.
Right. So, I was thinking the other day, the zombie apocalypse couldn't happen.
Yes, it could.
No. Let's stop and pause for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Here you go. You ready? Think about this, because this just put a new twist on it when I was thinking about this. Okay, first thing you'll hear is zombies, when they start, they'll probably eat animals they can get their hands on first.
Nope, okay. Animals are going to be too smart. They're going to get away.
Well, maybe.
For the most part.
Maybe not. You know, there's going to be some that do and some that don't. We know that eventually some housebroken animals would probably just start turning feral because obviously they'd have to fend for themselves. But
well, actually, I think most of the housebroken animals would just die.
That or be eaten.
Probably about 80% of them will just die.
Yeah. Okay. So
well,
then,
various reasons, factors, etc.
So then we stop and we think, okay, that's happening. So humans are going to do everything they can to, you know, get to a place that they're going to survive. Okay, sure. I stopped to think about this, and eventually we're going to hear about zombies and, you know, their contagion and whatever that turned them is in the water supply. Because, you know, some zombies might have died in the water and contaminated the water and so forth. Okay. The ground becomes saturated with the zombie ooze and blood and all the icky and all that wonderful, yeah, I said icky, stuff there. Which makes farming impossible. because obviously the soil would be bad. So humans would begin to die out slowly because, well, if they haven't been eaten by zombies, then they won't be able to create a food supply. And, you know, I've heard the saying, teach a man, or give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. But if the waters are contaminated, the fish are dying or becoming zombie-like and can't be eaten. So there
goes. Who said you can't eat zombies?
It's supposed to be rotting meat.
Yeah, so they used to eat rotting meat all the time. That's what the origin and derivative for spices is concerned. And salted pork, that was to hide the taste of rotting meat. That wasn't necessarily meaning that it's good for you. A number, I'm sure there's a percentage out there, they've got some kind of number that says, hey, number of people percentage who will survive eating rotting meat. 68% will survive. The other 32% will probably die in heaving fits of... Bleh! However, rotting meat, if you cook it, is still
rotting
edible.
Anyway, I
may
not
be the tastiest shit out there, but...
Right. So I figure eventually what's going to happen is the humans are going to die because, well, once they've raided everything, there's no more edible food sources. That's what's going to start killing them off. And eventually the zombies are going to be dying off, too, because they have nothing to eat. And so it's cause of a, what would we say, extinction?
Well, a zombie apocalypse is an extinction-level event. Just the same as a meteor impact, just the same as, oh my god, look, the dinosaurs breaking out everywhere. Yeah, so all of these things could cause the destruction of the human species as a whole. But really, it all depends on what premise the zombies originate from. If it's a supernatural thing, great. It's a limited time thing, it's a limited space thing, it's a limited environment thing. It becomes either a matter of faith versus not faith. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it is a virus, if it's airborne, waterborne, other kinds of pathogens, however it's transmitted, it can be contained. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if it is a la Walking Dead, where everybody already contains the virus, that's it. That's a game over event. Because that's what's going to happen is that, assuming you have somebody die, somebody somewhere is not going to break the brain pan, and it's always going to be, no matter what concentration of people you have, there will be some goofball that will unleash the death. It'll just happen. It's human nature. It's what we do.
All right. Taking the Walking Dead, for some reason I was going to say some other zombie movie, but taking No. Anyway, taking the Walking Dead moments, you know, you're telling me none of these people who survive know how to run an electrical plant or some form of generator or something that they can have electricity?
Well, you're presupposing that electricity is a requirement for survival. I don't think it is. It's a comfort. It's a thing that can make for an expanded environment for civilization, etc., yes. But in and of itself, electricity is probably a crutch for a trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. What are you going to do with it? Oh, you're going to rely on it. You're going to put lights up. You're going to put fences up. You're going to put all that stuff up that's going to rely on electricity. What happens when your electricity fails? Oh, great. Everybody dies.
Right. I mean, it's just a thought, though. I mean, you got all these items. Why wouldn't somebody
say,
well, I know how to do that. I used to work in a power plant.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you get the same idea of people who... if you've got a lot of people with guns and a lot of ammunition, what happens when the ammunition runs out? Oh, great, guns are useless, right?
Right. Yeah.
Unless you've got somebody who can figure, who knows how to mill the powder, the gunpowder, put the... shell casings together and all that other fun stuff. And I typed somebody's name wrong. So, I mean, it's possible for survival to occur in an event or in an occurrence where you have an extinction level event occurring where, okay, great, a great percentage of people are going to die off right off the bat. There are going to be pockets of society that will continue to survive, etc., etc., etc. But it really depends, as far as the zombie apocalypse is concerned, it depends on how it starts. If it's a virus or a pathogen, it's containable. It's quarantine. It's the whole, okay, we don't know you. You are not allowed in. But I'm okay. I don't care. You're not allowed in. But if it's what The Walking Dead were doing, everybody's already infected. It's part of a genetic thing that's already hit everyone. It's now too late to try and prevent the infection, because the infection is everybody's infected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's an alien space-borne plague, well, that's also another thing, but that's also containable, too, because if it is just a one-shot, they threw a big... because that's kind of how Night of the Living Dead started. It was a cloud of... Return of the Living Dead. An alien cloud in space that the planet was moving through or whatever. It just happened to infect a lot of dead bodies and stuff. That's apocalypse.
That's not the one where they were at the mall, was it?
No, that's Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, that was the one I was thinking of.
But it is actually based on the same originating of Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
Because, hey, we got a Twitcher over here. I love that line. yeah. And I agree. I mean, if we're looking at the difference between survival versus existence, all of these things, all of the events, depending on how it starts, is really going to be the larger determining factor as to whether or not people will be able to survive. Mm. I personally think that if a zombie apocalypse were to break out, 80% of the population would die within the first week. And that would be leaving about 20% of the population in remote areas, or people who were able to gather enough of their wits together and collect a group large enough or small enough for them to continue going along with. But ultimately speaking, every gathering of people of more than one person, there's always going to be a contentious issue. And that contentious issue is always going to break apart the unity of the group.
Right.
And ultimately speaking, if... the originating defining factor for what the zombie apocalypse was, it could lead to, oh, look, we can survive, or, oh, look, screw you, we're not going to survive anyways, might as well make ourselves on our own.
I don't know. I mean, you stop and think about it. If we put some reality on some of this, you know, I think The Walking Dead's a stretch, but pretty doggone close, except for the fact that, I mean, you see these guys creating or being able to make vehicles run and so forth. So knowing that somebody has some kind of skills, you're telling me nobody has any ideas of, I mean, even at that, while they stayed at the prison the whole time, they really did have electricity. They just never used it.
No, they used it sparingly because they knew they only had so much oil to run the generators. Basically speaking, if you don't have the gas, you don't have the oil to run the generators, they don't work.
Well, what is it that they're not getting when they go collect supplies?
They don't show you them getting gasoline or oil, whatever. It depends on what those generators are running on. Right?
Well, I'm assuming they would probably run on propane or...
I wouldn't necessarily bank on that because older generators were running on straight gasoline. There are generators that would be running on various mixes of oils and stuff. It really depends on regions.
If they're straight gasoline, there would be a supply that was constantly running there.
Nope, it would be a tank. The tank would be filled.
Well, then that's propane.
Not necessarily. They could be using gasoline. There are generators like that do use that.
Okay.
But again, I mean, it's they never explain any of that's part of The Walking Dead. They don't actually explain to you the mechanics behind. You said, yeah, we've got a generator. Okay. Where's the fuel for it? I don't know. We just put the stuff over there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just
I mean, they can't go into every little detail.
I mean, they do get you how they get the gas for their vehicles that they drive around in. But mind you, I question, you know, they just came back with their premiere of their little...
I haven't seen it. Don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
I will hit you with a stick furiously and fastly.
I just saw it.
Okay, fine. Keep it to yourself until I've seen it too.
Yeah, which made me... This is what made me start thinking zombie questions.
Okay, so along the zombie questions and the how far is too far or is too far still not there. Well... I think The Walking Dead is an awesome show, and I love the comic book as well. I think they've still got room to manipulate story. I think the TV show is going to catch up and either pass the storyline that the comic book is doing, or else it's going to completely go another direction. Or the third possibility is it's going to tank soon. It's in its fourth season, almost finished. And realistically speaking, from what I can see, they have a couple of different levels yet to go as far as, well, zombie apocalypse, what next? Kind of things. Mm-hmm. And they could, and I think this is what they started with the beginning of the second half of the fourth season, which was done in the comic book as well. It's a reboot in the direction of the storyline by focusing on Carl and Rick and a couple of other smaller stories. Okay, everybody is scattered, and now they've got to find survival, where everyone, whatever, sort of thing. Right? But without telling me anything going on in the story, because it's a little bit of...
But you got, you okay, yes, you're right, but then again, there were some of those that were with them that, you know, were, I guess, a little too angry.
Yeah, whatever. Everybody's going to be angry at the apocalypse. What do you expect?
Yeah, I didn't think they were angry about the apocalypse, but...
No, I mean not at the apocalypse, they're just going to be angry, period. Why? Yeah. Because they got to try and survive with this goofball. What the hell did this goofball ever do for anybody? He just sat back and drank sodas and eat cookies all the day. Oh, no wonder he survives the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, he was the quiet one. Always be afraid of the quiet ones.
Yeah. Never fear. I am here. I won't be quiet. I'll stick him with my spear. That's my random poem moment for the day.
Well, bam. Pandemic says if they follow the comic story, it could get really good.
Precisely, and that's what I'm saying. If the TV series keeps upping the game, which it is kind of loosely following the comic book story. I mean, this whole thing where Carl and Rick sort of take off from the prison on their own, that was a large part of the comic book story. Because that's where they introduced the bit about Rick going slowly crazy with the telephone. Like, it was over several issues of the comic book where he just sort of, you see him walk into a house and answer phones like, oh yeah, hi, yeah, okay, and start having this conversation with dead Laurie. But you didn't really find out that it was dead Laurie until well on into the series.
They did kind of show him looking at her in one of the episodes, even though she had passed.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had the hallucination event going, so it's like, oh, he's looking at Laurie late. Well, they were trying to angle that as, well, is Laurie really dead? Maybe not. Maybe she's just hiding from everybody, and she doesn't want anybody to know that her zombie baby escaped her, sort of thing.
Right.
So it's like, okay, the TV show's trying to do that, but it worked much better, I think, in the comic book. Because in the comic book, you didn't really know that he was going crazy until, oh, he's answering a phone that has no cord connected. What? Kind of thing. But there's still... And I don't want to go into spoilers because, I mean, if people haven't read the comic book series and don't follow the storyline in the comic book, it's... And I'm sure everybody, and I hope everybody knows my little bit thing about comic books in general, that once they get to about an issue 100, it's like, dudes, really? You're starting to get boring. The Walking Dead comic, on the other hand, is continuously upping the game. Right now, the storyline that's going on, they're having basically an uncivilized war between different factions. And these are all people that, as the story in the comic book series developed, you get a greater grouping of various groups of people. I think I said group like about 15 times in that statement, who are surviving the apocalypse and trying to coexist and trying to build community and civilization again. And that's ultimately where I think, and I unfortunately, I can see that there is a lot of great good in humanity, but I can also see it's like, dude, really? They're just going to kill everybody right there.
Well, I mean, I kind of see this being a revolution also.
What, the apocalypse or Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead, sort of following somewhat of the TV series Revolution, where... You know, their power's finally gone. Nobody has nothing. And you've got that, well, like you said, the not-so-civil war kind of breaking out between different factions.
Yeah, and if I were to look at the TV series following the comic book series, I would see them introducing Negan maybe somewhere around the fifth or sixth season. And ultimately speaking, I can't see the TV series itself lasting for longer than 10 seasons, period, max, tops. Because after that you have, well, what happened? Oh, they rebuilt all of civilization and everybody's happy again. Well, that's boring now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to... I mean, I can poke holes at TV series and writing all the time I want, but ultimately speaking, I want it to survive and succeed. But the thing is, how well do they make the writing on the stories? The one thing I've always liked about The Walking Dead is that they're focused more on the story than they are on the zombies. The zombies are an important part of it, because, like, ooh, look how gory and sick and disgusting that was. Like, oh, awesome. But the story is not about that. That's just part of the bread and butter that makes the story taste better.
Right, right. You
know, I mean, the story is about how do people survive the apocalypse? What is happening? People interact, people do things, people do smart things, people do stupid things. People do, really? You have a crossbow bolt that never needs new crossbows?
Yeah, I've had that question.
Yeah. Oh, and it's 3 years into the apocalypse, and the grass is still cut. Yeah. It happened, started in 2010, and yet there's a 2013 Kia in the show. It's like, okay, yeah, those are all just continuity error things or whatever. And I get that. But,
well, somebody had to keep making the cars.
Huh?
Somebody had to keep making the cars, and it's no longer called a Kia. It's a zombie.
Whatever. Whatever. Do you know that there's actually zombie car commercials now?
No, but I could so see it, you know, as being our cars never fall apart. Unlike your staff, the zombies.
No, I think it was more along the lines, are you a zombie going to work? Drive our car, it's fun! and then what's really stupid and inane about the whole thing is there's more than one car company out there that now has a zombie car commercial.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, they're copying people. What? Stop it. But that's a part of the too far part.
It's from RoboCop.
What?
The car commercials from the original RoboCop.
Uh-huh. The Buick 6000 SUX or something?
Yeah, something like that. I still loved that, though. The Buick sucks.
Yes, exactly. And as people are mentioning, as yourself, the show Revolution, I haven't seen it yet. I saw trailers and clips and commercials on it. It's like, oh, that looks boring. So I never bothered to get into it.
They don't have it as suspenseful as The Walking Dead, even though there is some parts that you're just like, wait, what? And now you have to wait until the next episode. You're just like, you know, that typical cliffhanger that, you know. And then they really come back and it's like, hey, we're not going to talk about these guys today. We're going to talk about these guys. And you're,
yeah.
I came back because I wanted to know what happened to these guys, not those guys.
I'm trying to remember the name of the show. It started with a J. Jeremiah. Jeremiah?
Jericho.
Jericho. That show had potential. That show was about surviving an apocalypse. That show, I wasn't too big a fan of the main character guy, but you know what? It wasn't bad. It was good. It had some great stories. It had some great development on it. It's like, ooh, super secret government thing. They're surviving while everybody else has gone to pot? What? That was a spoiler in a later season or whatever that they never finished exploring. But, yeah, the commercials for Revolution kind of made it look like, really, there's a bunch of pretty people running around the world, and they're doing things, and they're surviving. How are they surviving? How do these people even know how to grow food or put sewing needle together and make clothing? And how is it that they're raising babies and stuff? It just didn't seem to make any sense to me.
Well, I would think that, you know, eventually those who do know how to survive and have are having to pass it on to others. And that's kind of the mentality that they'll keep hanging on to because, hey, you know, it's got to work that way eventually because obviously that person who might know how to do all the things you mentioned, you know, he's got to show somebody else. Otherwise, he's alone.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately speaking, the survival possibilities for an extinction level event will be in two groups. One, you'll have a bunch of loners who are, yeah, we survive on our own. Why? Because it's easier that way. And then two, pockets of communities that'll gather together and pool resources and skills and abilities are a bigger part of the resource group. But it's a matter of, is there enough of a gene pool, enough people with different skills to create survivability? A great movie that I liked, oh, I'm trying to remember the name, The Colony? I think it was The Colony. Yeah, it was The Colony, which really showcases and highlights exactly what I'm talking about as far as the pool mix, the mix of skills, personnel, and people. By the way, that's the one that has Bill Paxton in it. It's like, dude, really? That doesn't look like him at all. You have a small community, a couple hundred people, maybe 300-400 people, that's slowly dwindling. You need to have enough diversity of personnel and people to create a community that continues to grow and live. Without having enough people in the group, it slowly and eventually, as the generations pass, it dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you only have a couple hundred people in the group, they're not all having sex with each other and creating more babies. You're going to get maybe less than 1% population growth out of that, and that will not sustain long enough to create a community. And even in a community grouping of 200-300 people, which is probably the maximum you would find surviving at a extinction level event, and I just love saying extinction level event. It's just so cool looking. Where did that first come up in? It's like, what the hell was that movie, Deep Impact? Deep Impact. That was the other movie that came out when Armageddon came out. And I think Deep Impact was the better movie. Because it had Tia Leone in it, I think. She's hot. I'm never a big Liv Tyler fan. She's okay, she's cute, but whatever. And Armageddon just looked way too cheesy, video, whatever. But
I'm riding a missile. Get off the nuclear device.
Yeah, all that stuff. Ooh, Romans and having to survive a barbarian apocalypse. That could be fun.
Barbarian zombies.
No, not barbarian zombies, but a barbarian apocalypse where basically, well, I think it starts with the presupposition of the same thing as revolution, where technology sort of cacks out and dies. And hey, guess what? There's 500,000 barbarians at the gates rampaging through. It's like, ooh, it's the attack of the Goths and the Visigoths again. Yay! Wardog just shared an interesting statistic that I was not aware of and I thought was way on the small side. What I'd last heard as a pool of, and it's probably including greater variety of factors than just straight reproductive age and people number, but it was that it was 10,000 people that would need to be existing in a community in order to continue a survivable, sustainable, growing community. Yeah, 10,000 people is what I'd heard was the social / biological magic number that many people and a society could grow. Lower than that by a significant number, and it's like that'll eventually peter out in 2 to 3 generations. Because it's like, well, what are they going to do? They're going to have sex like bunnies and reproduce like crazy? No, probably not.
He said peter.
I said what?
You said Peter.
I did. He's Cottontail.
I know.
He's got Cottontail. He's got a Cottontail. He's got a Cottontail. Go.
Oh, I was thinking rabbit stew.
I've never had rabbit stew.
Neither have I, so that's why it sounded good.
But you know what?
Is that time?
Yes, please.
It is that time.
I know. I need a drink.
A drink?
A drink. A tasty soda cola beverage.
We
oh, we're going to murder along, and kill everybody. Murder along, and kill everybody. That's how we roll in the zombie world. We just kill everybody, because, like, we don't distinguish and discriminate. We can kill everybody's brains. All of them.
You don't say.
I do, and I did, and I will, and I continue. But back to the how far is too far in zombies. I suspect that we will soon start seeing a leveling off of the zombie mania. I don't know for sure. It's kind of weird that the zombie mindset, psychology, and merchandising mega mass must whatever has been taken hold so long and so strongly. It's just really weird. Because we get these waves of things going on, and this is what becomes modern horror for the most part. It's the monster of the flavor of the month sort of thing. Zombies, vampires, werewolves. Zombies, vampires, werewolves. And it keeps going through this role of all those three, and then you get the weird things. You get aliens, and then you get some strange gargantuan monsters, kaiju or whatever, and then you get all these other things, and then you get it back, and then you go round and round again. But zombies have just sort of, like, they were always a subculture thing as far as horror is concerned, and then in the last 10 years, bam, it's everything.
Yeah, they really evolved in the last so many years, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, over the last 10 years, with I think probably the advent of internet and the ease of use of creating books and sharing information, sharing ideas, blogging, vlogging, all that nine-yard stuff has allowed a greater number of people to really speculate on what would happen in the zombies. And I think that a lot of people gravitate to the story concept of survive or die. And I think that's a very strong connecting story that allows people to consider, oh shit, what would happen if I had to deal with that zombie apocalypse? Oh, I'd probably kiss my ass goodbye because it's gone. We're pie babies? What?
I don't know.
We're pyre bees. We're per bees. I'm just going to go with whippoorwills, what Jack's saying in the chat room there.
Not sure what that is.
I don't know either, but I think he's trying to say werewolves, vampires, and zombies all together is a thing. So it's like, imagine, can you imagine what happened? Can you imagine what would happen if you had all three of them working together? A werewolf, zombie, vampire. Ooh.
You think he's trying to say werepig babies?
No, he was doing werewolf, vampire, or zombies.
Oh, okay. Werepire.
Yes. Yeah. Werewolf, vampires, zombies.
Werepire bees.
We're pyre bees.
Mm-hmm.
Or, we're your party pants. Something like that, I don't know. But I had a roll of a thought and a thought and a thought and a thought and a think, and it went somewhere else.
Devil monkey.
No. Well, they're fun too. So yes. See, I was right. That's what Jack was saying. So yes, I think that with the internet being so free and easy and available for people to actually get into it, and people build upon the concepts, and the whole idea of the story of how would I survive? What would I do to survive? And, well, then I guess a lot of this is sparked by American sentimentality of Americana. Oh yeah, we're struggling strong people. We can survive anything. Da da da. It's like, except a nuclear bomb. Yeah, all gone.
Exactly.
Or a zombie apocalypse. You're all gone. And then it throws back to, well, the only way to really survive is to have those kinds of common survival, we're just lost it. I had it a second ago in my head, and then it went, wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee. Cultural traits that allows people to bond together. Survival happens because people come together and create community. I mean, if you trace back to the caveman days and go forward, as the discussion was going on about the fall of the Roman Empire in the chat room there, which, dude, seriously? That's a great concept talk to talk about. I love the storyline of the fall of the Roman Empire, because it happened over such a long period of time, and there was no one single factor that said, yep, that's the nail in the coffin. There were a bunch of factors that kept changing the social construct there from a physical perspective as well as a just social and religious and organizational perspective. There was just so much stuff that happened that caused that fall. And it happened over a very long period of time. It's like, do-do-do-do-do, and then ka-tunk. Wait a sec, what happened? Where'd we go? What happened? What? And a lot of people bring the same connection and parallel to the American social structure of modern times and how the American empire is going to collapse as well in the exact same way because of all of these different factors. There's a lot of similarities. The economy, physical health, decadence in social entertainment and stuff, and all these things are leading to that same kind of fall. Which then brings me always back to the survival paradigm. Who's going to survive? Everybody's going to want to be the one that says, hey, I'm going to survive.
Right, but are they? Are they really going to be the ones?
Exactly. I mean, how well prepared are people? And I love during the CDC, especially as they were showcased in the Walking Dead, but as the popularity of the show came out, they started gearing a lot of their message for survival techniques to people in general. Hey, if you want to survive a zombie apocalypse, these are the five main things you need to do. Have this, do this, learn this. And the reality is, these are all the good techniques and right things to do if you want to survive. Oh, wait, a hurricane, an earthquake, catastrophic loss of power, a snowstorm in which everybody is trapped wherever the heck they are. All that stuff. You know what I mean?
Be squirrels.
Zombie beavers. Dude, for the people who joined us late in the chat room, Zombievers. Check out that movie. The trailer is freaking hilarious. If I can find a way to actually connect with those people, I will pimp the crap out of them because I just love the concept of the movie and think it's hilarious. Moving on to how far is too far again. I'm going to throw out a couple of things more because Zombievers just happened to be the one that really triggered this whole think sense that I was talking about. There is a movie out there called Zombie Ass.
Really?
Yes, there is. I'm not going to watch this movie, probably too likely. I may eventually see it. I know somebody who says that they loved the movie and said, oh, it was amazing, it was different, it was really unusual. But you can tell just by the name of the movie, it's about shit zombies.
I was going to say, it sounds pretty crappy.
It is very crappy. The premise is, zombie infection is by fecal matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like, okay, so the zombies turn around, bend over, and they go, pfft. Oh, look, flying poo, and it hits you, and you become infected! Yay!
Two words. Two words.
Flush it.
No. Devil monkey.
Devil monkey! But yes, so that movie was just one, and by the way, it's a Japanese splatter movie, of course.
This gives meaning to splatter.
Well, exactly. The Japanese horror trope movies, especially for the zombie stuff, they are classed as a splatter movie. That is part of the subgenre classification for it. It's Japanese splatter horror movies. So,
it's a splatter you don't want to be a part of.
It's a splatter that don't matter if you can't get away from it.
Oh, poo.
Oh, poo. So, there's that one. Then there's a comic book that I actually really, really like because it's funny as hell. It's called Zombie Tramp. All right. So, it's just fun. But it's about a woman of questionable morals and talents who gets turned into a zombie and continues to use those talents as a zombie to move on in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are a bunch of other zombie stories out there. Crap loads of zombie stories, books and everything being produced by tons of people. Some of them good, some of them like, what the hell were you thinking when you put those three words together? That didn't make any sense whatsoever, son.
You already put two together that didn't make sense in the first place, but really?
Oh, I can throw you another one that's got nothing to do with zombies. Okay, here's the North American release name of the movie. This is also, by the way, a Japanese splatter horror movie. It's called, in North America, Sexual Parasite.
I think I know the name of this movie.
Okay. Would you like to know the direct, literal translation of the movie from Japanese?
Sure.
First word is killer.
Mm-hmm.
The second word is a word that rhymes with mussy.
Ah. Beavers.
Yes. Not zombie beavers. This is a creature that got into this woman, and whenever she has sex with a man, she ends up eating him.
Species.
Not as nice.
Oh, wow, really?
And by the way, now the chat room is talking about Battle Royale. How the hell does Battle Royale... Well, it's not really a splatter movie. It's a fun survival movie. But Battle Royale is a great movie to watch. Battle Royale 2, less so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, The Colony is not Battle Royale. But Battle Royale is a much better version of The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games is always... I have no interest in watching that movie. It just feels like a lame kind of YA version of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to throw you another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Big Tit Zombie.
There you go.
It's another Japanese splatter movie. When I want to talk about really bad, really weird zombie movies, I will bring the Japanese stuff out because it's like, what the hell were you people thinking? Another one, Hell Driver. Yes, much as Kitty mentions in the chat room, Teeth. It's another type movie that's like Sexual Parasite. And I think there was another name for Teeth was called Vagina Dentata. And this apparently is a very specific phobia for people in North America. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I'm just...
There is a very specific phobia about, okay, so the woman Happy Place is out to eat you. Okay, I could see how that could be scary if that was really the thing that was scaring you.
So, giving words of go to your happy place is no longer the happy place?
It's somebody's happy place. It may not necessarily be yours.
Yeah. Om nom nom.
Om nom 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 nom. Oh my. As it were.
Right.
So yes, but and yes, talking about some. Oh man, the chat room goes all over the place on discussion comments, dudes. Seriously, I like it. Keep doing it. Talking about Lucifer's Hammer in this chat room right now is a great book. Who was that? Jerry Pournelle? Yeah, I think that was Jerry Pournelle. I read that a long time ago. All sorts of books there. I'm not going to say what they just said in the chat room though. So yes, the zombie fascination, it's mind-boggling to me as to how long we as a society have kept maintaining a grip and a hold on all this stuff. I mean, we're talking merchandise, we're talking movies, we're talking books. I mean, crap, there's like probably thousands of books out there just zombie-specific topics. I mean, every single publisher of comic books has put out one version or another of a zombie story. DC copying Marvel Zombie series came out with Green Lantern's Blackest Night, and it was kind of, I'm sorry, I'm going to really say this. By the way, we're not going to go into the Marvel versus DC discussion again, but the DC version of Marvel of the zombie thing was like, that's pretty freaking lame, Yan. Hey, Clyde's in the chat room.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in ages. That's excellent.
Did they ever do a... A
yes.
Zombie hero?
Yes. Oh, you mean as a hero?
Yeah.
Well, Deadpool is kind of... actually, you know what? If you're watching, and I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure you... I believe you do. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The character that they're going to eventually be introducing, who is one of the main characters that's been there, he becomes Deathlok, apparently.
Yes, they've done their first episode with him.
Oh, I have to watch that now. Damn it!
Yeah.
I have to watch the entire freaking series to build up to that. Shizness.
I saw it, and
don't tell me nothing, because Deathlok is one of my three pivotal Marvel characters that I absolutely, absolutely love. Pick up everything. I will get every action figure, and they don't have many. I think they have one. I have one.
I'm just going to say at this point...
Nope. Don't say nothing.
No, it's not a spoiler. So I can safely say this. But at this point, I'm hoping there's some build-up. This is the beginning of a build-up.
From what I've heard, it is the beginning of a major arc and a cycle that's going to continue a larger larger style storyline that continues building towards something else. Because Deathlok is not a character that's featured right now in any Marvel titles right now. He always ends up being a slow, hey, look, it's Deathlok. It's like, what? He's some badass guy who just shoots people and everything. It's like, oh, he's scary. But he's essentially a cyborg. He's dead. Been brought back to life. Really, he was fully undead for a long period of time. They just used his body as organic interface to create the machine killing android thing, which then it actually woke up his consciousness and he's come back to life.
Yeah.
So he's essentially a zombie android. And yes, Wardog, I am a Deathlok fanboy. It's just the whole concept really got to me when I was young, because I was reading that when I was like in my early teens. And it's like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, see, what's funny was you were checking out Deathlok and I was checking out Cyborg, so.
Yeah. There's also Simon Garth, is a character in Marvel's universe who is a zombie. He's never necessarily a hero, but he trounces through storylines every once in a while.
Right.
And then Deadpool became Headpool, which was a zombie version of Deadpool from the alternate universe that came into this universe, and they have some fun with him.
Interesting. But I never counted Deadpool as a zombie, because technically he was supposed to be a gathering of all the others.
Yes.
So I didn't think zombie, because he technically wasn't dead.
Well, he just couldn't die. And they tried. Yeah. A lot. But he could certainly kill all the rest of the versions of himself.
Right?
Oh, I read Deadpool a lot. Uh-oh. Discussion on the chat room is going weird. It's going on about Facebook. Ooh. Moving away from that. So yes, the whole crux of the zombie fascination. How much longer can it stay? And how pervasive is it? It is in everything right now. I mean, you can't walk around and not see a zombie version of something. I mean, I've come across zombie party favors.
I've seen it get really strong when The Walking Dead started, and it's been holding since then.
And I really believe that The Walking Dead is one of a couple of factors that has been reinforcing repeatedly the zombie mega mantra, whatever we want to call it. It's weird, but I talk to people, and you know, I sell stuff and merchandise and comic books and stuff like that as well. But when people come in and look at The Walking Dead stuff, it's like, you're not zombie fans, are you? No, but we love that show. Okay, why? It's a great story. Okay.
But how do you do that with not being a zombie fan?
Well, exactly. I mean, but that's the thing about the story. The story is not about the zombies. The story is about the people trying to survive. Oh, the zombies just happen to be the background. And I think that has been a stellar story concept that has been milked for 10 years now, because that's how long the comic book has been out. And the TV series now, fourth year, blah, 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 is really good. But again, I can't see it surviving much longer. I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, what else can you introduce to zombies? And I thought Zombie Beavers was a great, oh, wait, nobody's done that yet. That's just neat, you know?
Yeah.
And Zombie Ass as a movie or as a concept was like, well, that's a little on the too far for me. I'm just not going to go there, because it just wouldn't be prudent.
Well, I saw something that Doctor Who fans would go nuts over, is that Matt Smith wants to be zombified in The Walking
Dead?
I think I read it as he wanted to be in The Walking Dead, yeah.
I heard something about that, but I couldn't really connect anything to it. But it sounded like, I think, when we get to that point in The Walking Dead, it's all about guest appearances of zombies. It kills it. That will actually start killing it.
What about Daryl? Do you think that they're going to kill Daryl off eventually?
Daryl will have to die soon.
Yeah, see, I saw it coming. I don't think it'll happen because the fans, they like him too much.
The fan base loves Daryl. I mean, all the women viewers absolutely always loved Daryl and Merle. I never understood why they liked Merle or Shane. I never understood why they liked Shane. Shane was a complete dick. I'm sorry, yeah. I'll use that kind of language with him, but that was his character. That's what it was supposed to be. He was, oh, dude, I tried to help my buddy who was stuck in the hospital in a coma. Oh, my God, look, the zombie apocalypse. Dude, I'll take care of your wife, even though I know you can't hear me. Oh, and that was cool. That's what buddies do. That's fine. When he comes back, it's like, dude, I'm totally shacking your wife, man. You can't have her. What? That's just not cool, man.
Yeah, but why did he leave him in the hospital? Wow.
You can, if a zombie apocalypse breaks out, you're going to carry somebody in a coma? How? You can't. It's just, it would be a non-survival thing.
Yeah.
But yes, Daryl is the shit. I like Daryl too. I mean, as a character, he's cool. But when, in the first season, I didn't like him.
Well, he started off the you know, showing what he was running with, and his brother Merle was the best example of what he was running with. So that's his character. Then he becomes part of the team and obviously warms up with everybody and you know, kind of changes to be a part of them. And that's where he becomes more liked.
Yeah, well, I mean, Daryl, when he came into the second season, it's now he's got the whole confusion and conscious thing going on. It's like, oh, do I go with the good guys or do I go with my brother Merle? Or whatever. And that whole, he grew as a character. Of anybody in the series, he's grown the most. Besides Carl, who's grown like a foot.
Yeah. Gotta watch the new episode and you'll make a new comment about Carl.
I'm sure I will. But Daryl as a character has grown the most. He's a great character who has been developing strongly and steadily, and he's the kind of guy in a zombie apocalypse you want to be on your side, because he doesn't seem to be very judgmental about it. It's like, yes, it's right and wrong, good and bad, survival or not survival, and that's it. Mind you, he should have been dead much longer, because he keeps killing the zombies with the arrows, and then he kills the squirrels with the same arrows that have not been cleaned properly, and they would be infected, and he would be dead. But zombie we won't
squirrels.
Go on there.
I said it earlier, zombie squirrels.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's all that. And to answer one of the questions that was raised in the chat room, it's like, people like Shane? It's like, dude, you have no idea how many people asked me about Shane as a character. It's like, oh yeah, I love Shane. It's like, he's the hottest. It's like, really? I'm guessing you're going through that phase of young woman who likes the bad seed character person. And I'm sorry, that's your thing. Go over and enjoy, etc. Yeah. But yes, there was a strong movement of people who liked Shane.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name that they killed off at the mid-season finale. The older guy.
The guy who had the RV. Grandpa dude. Yes, I don't remember his name either.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Oh, either. It's along the lines of Carl and Daryl as well.
I mean, it made sense he eventually had to die, because if they did get overrun by zombies, unfortunately, he's bait. Because he wasn't getting anywhere on those crutches.
What the hell was his name?
I can't remember.
Oh, you mean Herschel. Herschel.
There you go,
Herschel. I'm thinking the other guy that owned the RV from the early second season or whatever. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about Herschel. Yeah, Herschel, there's no way that he... Dale. That's it. Thank you, Clyde.
Dale
was the one I was thinking about. But yes. So, what I just noticed is that we're 2 minutes away from the end of the show.
Mm. Yep.
And Squirrel and Moose, Yeah, squirrels and moose. Zombie mooses. Dude, do you have any idea how badass zombie mooses would be?
I've seen mooses when they're...
Even without being a zombie, mooses are scary. Dude, they can charge a car and win.
Yes, they can. So, but on that note, you did say...
Moose and squirrel.
Coming up next.
Coming up next, however, we have free mental candy. Oh no, we have free pie coming up.
Yes, pie, and then you can have the after dinner mint.
Oh, I want an after dinner mint, please. Very much, please. So on the free pie, I believe you have some music kind of guy coming up.
I have a guy that's been with B.B. King for 30 years.
And I was surprised that B.B. King was still around. Oh, by the way, did you hear who passed away today?
I did.
Very sad, very sad, very sad.
Yeah, we've had two major deaths this week so far.
Yep, but we're not going to go on that note because you've got the gentleman's name is coming up on Free Pie.
James Boogaloo Bolden.
Boogaloo in the Boogaloo.
And you have to Boogaloo. Out, but this guy has worked alongside with B.B. King for, like I said, 30 years.
That's a long time.
It is.
That's a long time.
My hero.
And who do he's got coming up on the Mental Candy?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen that
besides
yet.
Besides Joan. We have Joan coming up on the Mental Candy, and she's going to have some people, and they're going to talk about stuff and have some music.
Yeah, I don't... looking at her post, trying to find her post.
That's okay. We'll just stick with the Joan and people and talking about stuff and having music.
Yeah.
It's good. But I'm going to end with this note on everybody... Thanks for coming out and playing with us again once Wednesday. Every Wednesdays, come by and check it out. TMVCafe.com. After Rot, Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Be there or be dessert. And don't forget your zombie moose and squirrels.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.